Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Alicia Seckham, and tackling your questions on the line this evening. Ness and Naya from Sasfin Securities and Rikus Reeders from PSG Wealth Santon as well. So don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us this evening as we wrap up yet another month. How are you feeling as we close off month 9, head into month 10, Nelson?
Yeah, so quarter end as well. You know, and we're heading into the last quarter of 2021. I must say the year started off a lot better and a lot more positively than I think a lot of people thought. It's always going to be a difficult year, you know, because we were still very much, the world was still very much in some sort of form of lockdown. But then the resources and Naspers actually gave us sort of almost double-digit returns until around June, July. And then we had, you know, that awful fall-off in the Naspers share price. We had resources pulling back. We had riots in South Africa. All that happened in July. And I don't think we fully recovered from that. So third quarter, not as memorable, I suppose, as the first two. So for me, I think the fourth quarter, I'm going to be a little bit more cautious. You know, I think there's still a lot of things happening globally, certainly in terms of the Chinese regulatory sort of challenges that we have there, and the interest rates in the US. So I think you know, a good time to take some cash off the table.
So the where to from here, Rick, is triggering a lot of trepidation on most fronts. How are you feeling as you venture into Q4?
Well, apart from what the Sun has just mentioned, also remember it's September, and so far, as far as history is concerned, September is doing what it's supposed to do. It's statistically your worst month to be in the markets. And the news tends to be October crash, but it's September that's the worst. It tends to bottom in October. Might not necessarily repeat itself, but it rhymes. And so far, that seems to be what is happening with any negative news, whether it be globally or locally, driving prices down. So I agree with this, and it's probably not a time to be adventurous at the moment and think that you're going to get the bottom of anything. But I would rather wait and see what November, December brings, because again, historically, that's when you tend to see markets rally from their lows.
Because even if we start to see normalcy return, Ness, and there's a big question mark around what the new normal is going to look like. I mean, this entire period has adjusted the way people do business. Mr. Price, one of those that stand, you know, front and center in that mix. So we had a viewer write in saying solid performance metrics recently in Mr. Price's guidance to the market, buoyed as it was by strong performance by not only clothing retail, but also its recent acquisitions, that being Power Fashion and Yuppie Chef. Going forward, however, I'm expecting greater market penetration through its e-commerce channel and wonder whether it's sufficiently committed to that strategy, given how tactile the shopping experience for clothing tends to be. Your view?
Yeah, so I think Mr. Price and certainly a lot of the other retailers are a lot more committed, you know, to online now than they were before the riots, because the challenges I think a lot of these businesses have had, you know, is containing the cost structure. You know, Mr. Price in particular, you know, as property rates went up and as rentals started going up, you know, it was difficult for them. Mr. Price, remember, is a high volume, relatively low margin the turner of stocks. So, you know, they've got to make very few mistakes in terms of fashion, and at the same time, you know, ensure the costs are kept quite low. So I think, and we may not see it as much as probably we'd like to, or happen as fast as we'd like to, but the online sort of channel for sales is probably the most critical for all retailers right now, including Mr. Price.
Rikus, today was a yay day for Mr. Price, though. It was a top performer on the top 40 index, gaining 4.4%. How are you feeling? Would you be delving into Mr. Price at current valuations?
Well, here's the thing. It's up today because it was horrifically down over the past 2 days. So it's a bit of a recovery in that. And if you take a look at the price momentum on Mr. Price, it's recovered two-thirds of the losses since the start of COVID. So, you know, it's not even back to where it was pre-COVID. So I'm sort of thinking that specifically with retailers, probably even some of the banks as well, what we're seeing are rallies in what is essentially a bear market. Not that there isn't further upside, but, you know, you don't have that bull market price momentum that gives you total conviction in the short term to medium term. Longer term, it's a heck of an operator. So I don't think, you know, looking 5-10 years from now, you're going to necessarily lose money on it if you should buy it at these levels.
Yeah.
But as Nesson also said, the proviso is it's not shops and online retail for any of these guys. The strategy encompasses both, and they must get both of them right. But certainly as an operator, they've got a good chance of doing that considering the history.
Well, Nesson, talking about down days that are followed naturally by recovery, let's put the spotlight on Purple Group, because there was a sharp sell-off on that share earlier this week. Please, could you discuss now the easy equities deal with Purple Group? With Purple Group and Discovery. Purple Group was up 14% at one stage today, assuming this was due to the deal with Discovery, that in part, but also let's pay some attention to that share price fall we saw earlier.
Yeah, so, I mean, Alicia, I think I should qualify what I'm saying by disclosing that I don't follow Purple Group that closely. I have looked at it in the past on occasion, and what I can tell the viewers, just be a bit careful trying to read into too much of the price action, because a lot of these shares tend to be very liquid, and a 14% move would probably contain as much information as a 40% move, depending on exactly how much of volume is going through and how many different investors are buying or selling. So, I think that's the first thing to pick up on. Of course, I'm not sure, but I was under the impression that Easy Equities was partly owned by Sunlam. I'm not sure if they did that deal some time ago. It's a good idea, the concept of Easy Equities to appeal to a much wider sort of audience. Can't pay 2,300, 2,400 for a NASP per share, chop it up into 10 shares and, sell them, or chop it up into 100 shares and sell them at 24 in each. But you're not really buying a NASP per share, then you're buying an instrument that's related to a NASP per share, and that, complicates things a lot. I think for the mainstream investors, and then to manage a platform, with thousands, hundreds of thousands, I think it's also a little bit expensive as well. So it's not let me rather say it's not a business that I would look, too carefully on, mainstream investors.
Rikus, how are you feeling about it, and especially this deal now with Discovery and where it potentially takes that platform from here on out? The share price drop that got me or what alerted me to the share price drop that we saw yesterday, Simon Brown tweeting, somebody did a fat finger on Purple Group or wanted out in max hurry, and then look at that recovery coming through today.
Yeah, we were talking about Mr. Price being a high volume, low margin business. And it's the same thing with Easy Equities. So in that sense, what they've done with Discovery is just open up another channel for their product, if I can call it that. So as a disruptor to your normal stock exchange or your normal broker model, it's interesting, but obviously one needs a track record as Nesan said, the technology must be up to it. In other words, you can't, it must be able to handle the kind of volumes that they envisage very accurately. So in that sense, it's interesting, but it's probably, for my own personal risk profile, a little bit too risky, although, you know, a private investor, if they think it's the next best thing, might dabble in it, but I can't really at the moment consider it as a serious long-term investment because I don't have a long-term history for it.
Okay, what's the reading on your risk barometer, Rikus, for Thungela? Viewer writing in, the current Thungela run, how long can this last? We know that there's been some trepidation around Thungela because of the coal exposure, because of ESG principles that are going to eventually take hold. But then on the other side of the coin, you've got investors wishing that they were brave enough to have delved in when they listed.
Well, certainly in the short term, you know, where's it going? It's how long is your piece of string? Because there's an obvious excitement surrounding coal at the moment, precisely because of ESG on the one hand, certainly China cracking down on environmental issues, plus China's power supply issues. So that whole market is in turmoil because there's a shortage of coal. Never mind the fact that nobody wants to in the longer term, develop coal mines. So you can't wish coal away. But really, right now, in the short term, it's all momentum. It's all sentiment surrounding not only a Chinese, but really a global lack of energy sources, whether it be coal, gas, or oil.
Nesan, are you amongst the lot that's managed to be lucky enough to ride the momentum on this one?
I did manage to ride some of the momentum, I must say, but as I was telling Rikus earlier on, you know, I tend to sell a little bit too soon, and I tend to also buy a little bit too soon. But this is an interesting one, you know, for a number of reasons, and I think Rikus actually hit on quite a few of them. You know, the first challenge is what's really going on in China. On the one hand, you know, they're cracking down, on industries that harm the environment, like fossil fuels, and on the other hand, they're running a massive shortage of coal. So what's really the end game here? I mean, I suppose you need to look at the coal price to give you some guidance. Their coal price is going up, and you know, I'm careful not to say too many things that would give the greenies reason to send me hate mail. But the thing is, you know, coal is a major source of energy, as oil, and it's going to be there for a long time. So factor that a lot of the big institutions, the big development finance institutions globally, and even in South Africa. I mean, FirstRand a couple of weeks ago came out with their results. They're not going to finance any new coal mining projects, and neither is Nedbank. Probably all the other banks will follow suit. So the guys that have existing coal infrastructure now to sell to meet a market that has or at some level of demand, you know, are going to have a level of pricing power.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that is probably, you know, similar to I suppose the tobacco industry. You know, there's no new incumbents in that industry. So the guys that sit in that industry and consolidated it, you know, are able to have a lot more leverage on pricing, which is, good for dividend type shareholders. So this one is very, very interesting.
Okay.
Thungela Resources for that reason. And I think it's probably worth a little bit more than, you know, just a casual thing. We probably need to do a bit more work on it from an investment perspective. But as I said, you know, I don't want to get too many ESG investments.
Okay, let's skip topic then very quickly. And before I get to your stock picks, I want to squeeze this one in. I'm going to divvy it up. I don't need too much analysis, just a yay or nay. Nesan, on your side, is it too late to invest in Transaction Capital?
No.
No. On your side,
Rick? There's a lot of runway there.
Still a lot of runway to go, so you can accelerate on that one. Aspen, on your side, is it too late to delve into Aspen in your books, Rikus?
I had Aspen as a stock pick about 2 months ago. I thought that it could go to about 20 rand where it is trading currently. So obviously, the factors have changed as far as Aspen's concerned. I think they've had a huge exponential rally.
So you were in it 2 months
It
ago. Would
must
you be
take a break.
buying now,
Sorry.
or is it too late? No.
No. I
Okay.
think it's had its run.
Got you. Let's wrap up this evening, Rikus. What's your stock pick?
Barloworld talking about coal, and I think Nessun had that as a stock pick about a year ago, and certainly go and listen to Wayne McCurry and David Shapiro on yesterday's show, just on the results itself. What I want to add to that is their specific involvement in Mongolia, which is very, very interesting. Talking about coal exports to China, I think Mongolia's exports in this year has gone up by 4,000% to China. Barloworld has got is the provider of Caterpillar equipment in that country. They must benefit.
Okay, on your side, Nason.
I'm going with a coal theme as well. I know that's going to upset a lot of people today's show, but I'm going to go with Thungela Resources mainly for the reasons that you discussed today.
Okay, don't answer your emails, put your phone off, enjoy the weekend, get some peace. Let's leave it there, gentlemen. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Ness and I from Sasfin Securities and Rikus Reeders from PSG Wealth Centre. We'll be back next week to take more of your stock-related questions. For now, have a great evening.